Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you for joining the program today. Oh my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Now, I'd just like to give a little bit of background about how I actually came to be a radio announcer. About 25 years ago, the thought was in my mind. I was widowed 30 years ago, and with four children under 10, it was a difficult time for sure. And part of my saving grace, I have to say, was Radio Rema. I think I raised my children on my knees, but also listening to Radio Rema, Focus on the Family, and Dr. James Dobson at 11:30 every morning, and again at 7:30 at night, and sometimes I would actually listen twice. And his wisdom about raising a family, raising children, really resonated with me. And anyway, when you're suddenly on the other side of the road, so to speak, it became obvious that there were many things in the church that were not really happening for people such as me and in my situation, and for the elderly and the disenfranchised, etc., etc. And one day in a sermon, Monsignor Cronin, that wonderful godly man, said, "The bishop wants to hear from you." And I thought, right, I'm going to write to the bishop. And so I wrote him, I think it was probably about a 25-page letter, and all of my suggestions about what we could do, etc., etc. And one of them, I said, was Catholic radio. We need Catholic radio. And so it was very funny when, in 2005, when Pope John Paul II died, that wasn't funny, but when he died, it was the weekend of Divine Mercy Sunday, and Radio New Zealand came out to the convention and spoke to a few people. Now, I just happened to be milling around and was interviewed. And unbeknown to me, Gary Menzies, the late wonderful dear friend of mine, must have been listening too. And so at afternoon tea, he approached me and he said, "Claire, I'm thinking of going in the seminary and I need someone to take over my radio show. Will you do it?" Now, I'd never, ever been on radio before, but because I believe in Catholic radio, I just immediately said, yes, of course. And it took him aback a bit, but anyway, nothing happened. So 1 year later, at the same Eucharistic convention, he approached me again. "Claire, are you still interested in doing radio?" And I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Okay, well, come out on Tuesday to Unitech and meet me there." So the following Tuesday, I turned up, that's 2006, and Gary introduced me as his co-host, and I have been doing this ever since, so for 14 years, and for nearly 4 years on my own since Gary tragically drowned nearly 4 years ago. So that's the background of the story. So where are we today? If you've been listening regularly, you know that I have been talking about communism for the last 6 months, the eras of Russia. A lady told the children on the 13th of July 1917 that the eras of Russia would spread all around the world. Well, they certainly have spread all around the world, and we have a very blatant and obvious communist party in rule in the US. And even before that, in those 2 months after the election, it seems extraordinary to people all over the world that Twitter could ban the President of America permanently from having a Twitter post. Now, that just seems extraordinary that the media is higher than the presidency of the United States. Okay, what I'd like to talk to you today is, I'm sure some of you have heard it, but many of you may not have. It was written by Paul Harvey in 1965. Now, you'll remember a lady of good success told Sister Mariana Jesu Torres that in the mid-1900s onwards, and just over the mid-50s, that there would be impiety, impurity, and heresy, and the whole world would be in an absolute mess. So this was written in 1965, and it's called If I Were the Devil. Now, you might have heard Michael Voris on Church Militant. He always says, the devil never sleeps, and that is so true. Okay, now I might interject a little bit and just to make a comment, particularly around the world, but in the case of New Zealand, I might just put a few comments in. Okay, here we go. If I were the devil, or if I were the prince of darkness, I would want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I would have a third of the real estate and four-fifths of its population. But I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple of the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however, necessary to take over the US. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. I'd just like to stop there for a moment. There seems to be a whispering campaign going on in the UK at the moment that Boris Johnson is going to resign. Now, I don't know if Boris knows about this, but I've certainly seen lots of newspapers hinting that Boris is going to resign. Now, I remember many years ago in New Zealand, there was a certain prime minister and a whispering campaign. He was going to resign. And I'm not too sure that he knew about it at the time, but then the media gets to be a rolling stone and it gets to the point, well, you can't actually not resign. To the young, I would whisper, the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. Now, that's a very interesting comment, because a young person said to me a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, the problem with your generation, you were square. And it was on the tip of my tongue, but I wasn't quick enough, and I wanted to say, no, moral. So he was absolutely right there, we're square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. So it seemed to be that Mr. Harvey believed everything was coming out of Washington, particularly DC. If I were the devil, then I would get organized, I'd educate authors on how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. Now, can you imagine the literature that we see today? 100 years ago, 50 years ago, you would be arrested for some of the things that mainstream authors are putting into their books. I'd threatened TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I would tranquilize the rest with pills. A comment there. Many years ago, somebody who I know told my friend, she had been in the Communist Party and actually very high up in New Zealand, and she had seen and cited a document that said the Communists were going to overtake the West through drugs and pornography. So dull the spirit and dull the mind. Off we go again. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. Now that's very similar to what Our Lady said at Garibandal, and it said at Akita, you would have cardinals versus cardinals and bishops. Now back in the 60s, that would have been unheard of, because you were right in the middle of Vatican II, when it seemed that the church was absolutely united and moving forward. And you certainly have within nations at the moment. You have in the US the Democrats versus the Republicans, and the Democrats now in power want to cancel the Republicans and even try and reprogram them. I mean, my goodness, we've come a long way. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fawning the flames of this war against in families and churches and in nations. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotion. Just let them run wild until, before you know it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Now, that would seem preposterous at the time, but that's certainly a reality in many schools, and particularly in the States, in some of those inner-city schools, and I imagine in London, etc., etc. Back to the devil. I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the Congress. Now, in New Zealand's situation, when the Labour government got in, Trevor Mallard, Speaker of the House, what was one of the very first things he did? He took the word Jesus Christ out of the prayer. Now, we are still just under a 50% Christian nation. There should have been an uprising in New Zealand, but there was a small group of people who protested a little bit later. But if they don't think that it matters, they will just bulldoze through and do even more of that. Back to the devil. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion. It's all about feelings. And deify science. Well, that's true. The scientists are the new high priests. I would have priests and pastors. I would lead them into misusing boys and girls and church money. Sadly, that is true for a small proportion. If I were the devil, I would make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I would take from those who have and give it to those who want it, until I had killed the incentive to be ambitious. Unfortunately, that is so true. What I'd bet you, I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. Now, sadly, that is a very, very real situation. Have any of you ever been into Sky Casino? Well, I have been a couple of times. A friend who likes fluttering on pokies and different things shouted me in a couple of times, and it was just very interesting. You saw people who clearly could not afford to be there, looking very somber and very sad as they put money after money into these one-armed bandits. And they don't call them one-armed bandits for nothing, because that's exactly what they are. They take your money. I would caution against extremes in hard work and patriotism in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be, and thus I could undress you in public and eye you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I would just keep right on doing what he's doing. Okay, well, that's where we have come today, and God will not be mocked. And when you think about, particularly from a pro-life stance, you have millions and millions of babies every year that are killed in their own mother's womb. And that's one of the sins crying out to heaven. I think we should be on our knees crying out to God for mercy and fasting and doing sacrifice and acts of penance. Okay, we've just passed 3 o'clock, Divine Mercy time. So this is a little prayer that we always say at 3 o'clock. And it's just a shortened version. It's a prayer which Jesus gave Saint Faustina, and it's part of the Divine Mercy chaplet. And this is asking God for mercy, and we are passing through the door of mercy, but there will come a time when Jesus's mercy will end and we will have to go through the door of justice. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you are pregnant and worried, there is a fantastic organization in Auckland. Well, they're based in Auckland, but they're throughout New Zealand, Family Life International, that you can give them a ring, and they will have someone at the end of the phone who is only too willing to talk to you, or you can look up Family Life International. They have their own pregnancy center, Gianna's Choice Pregnancy Center. and their number. Well, actually, it's their text number, 0274 488 070, 0274 488 070. And if you give them a text, they will ring you. And I've certainly been part of that organisation for a very long time. In fact, I'm not working for them at the moment, but Colleen is telling everyone Claire's just on leave. And once you're in the family of FLI, you actually never leave it. Now, I just want to mention, as I said, Twitter has taken President Trump permanently off its platform. And we're all into this cancel culture. The devil never sleeps. So I would just like to mention the poem that was written post-war. Actually, it was a confession by a German Lutheran pastor, Martin Niemöller. And I'm sure you've heard this poem, but I think it's very sobering, and we really need to dwell on this. If we think that we're immune down here in little New Zealand and no one's ever going to, cancel me. First, they came for the communists, but because I was not a communist, I didn't say anything. Then they came for the trade unionists, but because I wasn't a trained unionist, I didn't say anything. Then they came for the Jews, but because I was not a Jew, I didn't say anything. Then they came for me, but there was no one left for me. So we really need to speak up now. There is a window of opportunity. It is closing rapidly, and that's why I do what I do. I pay for it. It costs me and time and money, which I don't really have. Thankfully, a wonderful person is now sponsoring the program, and I'm deeply grateful to Mark. So thank you very much for that. So on Church Militant this morning, Michael Boris was mentioning how we really need more Catholic media, and I couldn't agree more. But he was also saying we need to speak out at every opportunity. We can't cower to fear because we might offend someone in our families or someone at work. I mean, so be it. If you lose some friends, even someone in the family, at the moment, they will come around to see that what you were saying was true. And you may even lose your job. But at the end of the day, you will be right with Jesus and right with God. And after all, if we are a Catholic, if we are Christians, we must speak out. Now, there is also another situation that is occurring, that people must sign in either with the app or by signature if they want to go into a store. And I can see it's going to become compulsory. Now, you might think, well, that's a great thing. This COVID is terrible. And make no mistake, it is real. But the problem is does that mean that if you choose not to because you don't want to be tracked every moment of the day or every place you go to, that you can't buy or sell? So you won't be able to get food, you won't be able to do anything. It reminds me a little bit of the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell. And I think that is a little bit of a worry. Okay, program always goes far too quickly, and we will end with that beautiful hymn.
My stay.